Do you like sunrises? I've got a few pictures of some sunrises I'm going to show. Is there anything more beautiful than that? A beautiful sunrise? Now, I know some of you are not morning people. You may have never actually seen a sunrise. So I'll show you some pictures of what they look like. You say, if God wanted me to see a sunrise, he would have scheduled it later in the day. You say, well, what am I really missing? Isn't a sunrise just a sunset in reverse? It's not quite the same. There's similarities for sure. But you who are morning people, aren't sunrises spectacular? How it's dark and it's just getting lighter and lighter. It's so beautiful. It begins with just a hint of light in the sky. You can just kind of, you know it's coming. Then the light turns golden red as the sun starts to rise. Finally, the sun peeks out over the horizon, sending its rays across the sky. I love this picture here with the sunlight. And the darkness gives way to light. Let me say that again. The darkness gives way to light. Light dominates darkness. If there's light, there's no darkness. And then more and more light as the sun rises, all creation begins to stir as another day dawns. Beautiful, isn't it? The sun's light brings life to all that it touches, and the world is alive with color and light. Now, all these pictures I showed you, all these sunrise photos, were taken in our San Bernardino Mountains. Most of them right here at the Rim of the World Drive. Now, aren't you and aren't we privileged to live in such a beautiful place? I mean, if you drive the rim at all, I used to live in Running Springs, you see so many variations of color and light. It's fantastic. Now, I didn't take those pictures. I found them all on the internet. But I've been living here for 25 years. The first 5 years, at least, were in Running Springs, so I drove back and forth. And I've seen my share of spectacular sunrises and sunsets. But my favorite sunrise is when the sun rises above the clouds. Have you seen that here, where we're above the clouds? The clouds are down below, and they leave the valley looking like an ocean. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? We know that there's underneath those waves of clouds are mountains. They poke up like little islands in a giant ocean. It's breathtaking. Have you seen that sunset or sunrise? I mean, it's sunrises that you get that. I don't think you get that for sunsets. It's beautiful. If you haven't seen it, then you better become a morning person so you can. By now you may be wondering, why is Pastor Mike talking about sunrises? Because Christ's ministry is compared in the Bible to a sunrise, to a dawning of a new day. It's a metaphor used in our text. As a matter of fact, it's the first verse that we read, Matthew 4:16. Let me read it to you again. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. Sounds kind of like the sun coming up, doesn't it? They saw a great light. It wasn't the sun, it's Jesus. And those who were sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. That's beautiful poetic language. In what way is Christ's ministry like a sunrise? Well, today we're going to seek to answer that question. I want us to consider what this verse means. This is going to be our main verse we'll be looking at. I've titled my message, The Light Dawns. And I think there's application for us in this little passage that I want us to take to heart. But first, before we get into this verse, I want to bring you up to date on our preaching schedule. All right? As you know, Pastor Jonathan and I have been taking turns for several months preaching through the book of Matthew. I want to remind you where we've been and where we're going so you kind of know what's going on. About a year ago, I let the church know that I needed to retire due to my health issues. Actually, we talked about it even before that because I was in bad shape. Medicine has helped me a lot, but I still have health issues. And so I gave the church a one-year notice so there'd be plenty of time for a smooth transition into the next leaderships. During this time, we believe that God has led us to call Jonathan Trask to be our new pastor. That's not new news to you. You know that, but I want to remind you. So Jonathan and I have been sharing the ministry responsibilities until I officially retire on March 29th, the last Sunday of March. I came here on April Fool's Day. It was my first Sunday 25 years ago. So my last Sunday will be right up to April Fool's Day. But this is no fooling around. I really am retired. I'm not going to get up and say, April Fool's Day! Since I knew this is my last year to preach, I had 1 year to preach, I wanted to teach through something significant, something life-changing. And the Lord led me back to one of my favorite passages, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you've been with us a while, you know that we spent 7 months in the Sermon on the Mount. Last January all the way to July, this passage has had a great impact on me through the years. One of the first passages I read as a teenager, as a new Christian, it transformed my life. It's the longest recorded sermon of Jesus, and it covers almost every imaginable issue that Christians face. So we slowed way down and looked at the Sermon on the Mount in detail. After the Sermon on the Mount was concluded, that's when we started trading off preaching. Jonathan and I decided to just continue on with Matthew, right where we left off in the Sermon on the Mount. After all, what could be more important than Jesus Christ himself? We say we're a Christ-centered church, a Bible-believing church. So we preach the Bible, and we're teaching about Jesus through the book of Matthew. So we picked up where the Sermon on the Mount left off. Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then we, since then, have covered chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, and part of 12. So we're working our way through Matthew. But for Christmas, we decided to go back and look at a few verses from Matthew. I'm not sure if you saw that and understood that, but Jonathan kind of focused on the lineage of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the Christmas themes from Matthew. So as of next Sunday, we're going to zoom again back up to chapter 12 where we left off. So now you kind of understand why we're bouncing around, but we're all about Matthew for now. We're in the middle of Matthew 12, so if you want to read ahead, the last passage we looked at in Matthew 12 was the unpardonable sin. You may remember that a few weeks ago. The next passage is about the tongue and the things we say, what's inside comes out. And Jonathan will be covering that next Sunday. So here's what's going to happen is Jonathan and I are going to preach alternately, week by week, 1 week at a time. Every other week, we'll trade off until I retire on March 29th. And I want to say again, because people keep asking me, are Rachel and I moving away? No, we have a house right there, two doors up. You've been at our house. This is our home church for the last 25 years. I'm only retiring because I have health issues, so I'll still be here. We'll be gone more than we would be normally, but I'll have the freedom to come and go and see my kids and travel and do things we need to do. So we're going to continue to be involved. We'll do hymn sings, and we'll do senior events, because I'm the senior guy. So, but Jonathan will be the lead pastor, and he will be the only pastor. I will be here as a retired pastor to help and support. So what about today's sermon? Think of today's sermon as a transition from where we were in Matthew to where we are, like a bridge back into Matthew. So I'm just kind of introducing a little bit. I just had a verse that I really wanted to talk about. It's just one verse, and that's the one we read, Matthew 4:16. Where Jesus' ministry is described as a dawning, a sunrise. It's beautiful. Let me read it one more time. The people who are sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who are sitting in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. What is God saying through this verse? What does that mean, and how does it apply to us? Let's walk through this verse a little bit slower. Take a few phrases out. This verse, like many others in the Bible, contrasts light and darkness. That's all throughout the Scripture, especially in the New Testament. Let's look at that verse again. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, opposites. Those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. So the Bible uses light to describe God. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, the Bible says. There's many verses about God being light. And Jesus is described as light, especially in John 1. It's one of the main themes in John 1, about the light coming into the world. And John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, in contrast, the Bible describes darkness as sin and rebellion and man's state. It says that people are blind and lost in the darkness due to their sin, and they're sitting in the shadow of death. Did you see that part of that phrase? Sitting in the shadow of death. What does that mean? It means they're awaiting divine judgment because of the darkness of their heart, because of their sin and their rebellion. They're sitting in the shadow of darkness. Who is described here as sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death? The whole world. The whole world. There's none righteous, no, not one, Romans tells us. The human race is lost and in the dark without Jesus. Man's relationship with God was broken all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam's sin and our sin has separated us from God. That's clear in the scripture. Ever since then, mankind has lived in the shadow of death. There's a death verdict because of our sin. How do I know that? Because the Bible teaches that. Romans 6:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, does that mean everyone who's ever lived? Except Jesus, right? He's the only one who's without sin. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's perfection, God's glory. Romans 3:23 says, now the wages of that sin is death. We just read about it. We're in the shadow of death. That's the verdict that's on our life. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Oh, die means to be separated from God forever. What a dreary and dark portrait of humanity. If you think you're good inside, then you're in contrary to what God says. God says that we are sinful, right down to the core. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all sit in this shadow, in this dark, until Jesus comes and brings light. You say, didn't the Old Testament shed some light on God? And the answer is yes, of course. The Old Testament was written and it recorded how God revealed himself gradually until Jesus came, where he revealed himself fully. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yes, there's not a bright light, but the points of light in the Old Testament, like prophecies about a coming Messiah, promises of a Redeemer. Those are like a faint light, giving them hope that there's a future. They won't stay in the dark forever. But it's not a full light. The Old Testament saints, they lived in the shadows. They had clues about the Messiah. They had hints and symbols. But even when he came, they didn't recognize him. He came into his own people, and they didn't even recognize him, the Jews, those who had the Old Testament scriptures. So they didn't have enough light to really understand. It's as if they saw through a mirror dimly, like it talks about in Corinthians. They had an idea that Messiah was coming, but they didn't know really how to recognize him. The full revelation of God came when Jesus came. It's like the sun rose, and the darkness had to flee as Jesus came into the world. Fortunately, I want to clear something up here. Old Testaments could be saved. They were saved by faith in those promises, in those prophecies. Saved by faith in those sacrifices. We have the Hebrews 11 that talks about all these saints from the past who got right with God being saved by trusting in God. Now we trust in the Lord Jesus because we know more about him. We have a full revelation. So what's Matthew 4:16 teach us? Here's the answer. The world was sitting in darkness until Jesus came. The world was sitting in darkness. Some places are darker than others. The Jews had some light. The rest of the world was lost in darkness until the light dawned, until the light rose. The Lord Jesus came. Christ's coming is like a sunrise, bringing light to a dark world, chasing out the darkness, bringing truth. So Jesus picks up on this theme in some of his teaching. Listen to what he says in John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that a beautiful verse? You don't have to walk in the darkness anymore. You don't have to sit in the shadow of death anymore. You can get away from the light as you follow Jesus. Jesus clearly identifies himself as the light of the world, the whole world, not just to the Jews, to the whole world. And he calls us to leave the darkness and follow him. That's what he says here. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. If you follow God, you will not walk in darkness. If you follow God, you will not continue in your sinful patterns and ways. Does everyone respond to this call? It seems too good to be true. We can get out of the dark and walk in the light. Does everyone respond to this? No. Many people reject it. Many people reject the Lord Jesus. You know about that. You know the relatives and friends that have rejected Jesus, don't want you to talk about God. They want to remain in the dark. Why is that? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John 3. He gives us the answer. Why would anybody stay in the dark when they get lights available? John 3:19. This is the judgment, that light came into the world. There's that sunrise. There's that dawn. Jesus came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. They loved their sin more than they loved the Savior. They loved the dark more than they loved the light. Keep reading. For everyone who does evil hates the light and has not come to the light, for fear of his deeds will be exposed. He who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So according to Jesus, there's two kinds of people. There's those who hate the light, and they choose to stay in the dark. And there's those who love the light, and it says they come to the light and follow Jesus. People are either drawn to the light, are they repelled by the light? Isn't that interesting? Some people just want to follow Jesus and love God and walk in the light and do all they can to make their life line up with Jesus Christ. Following Jesus is living like Jesus. Others are repelled by the light and say, don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to hear about this gospel stuff. Don't preach to me. They're repelled by the light. Now let me ask you the convicting question. Are you walking in the light and following Jesus? Or are you still walking in darkness and rejecting Jesus? Today we have no excuse to stay in the darkness. We've got the gospel, we've got the Bible, we've got the truth. Jesus, the light of the world, is shining so that all can see, all who want to see. Some don't want to see. I'm going to take the remaining of our time. It's going to be a short message. I want us to consider who might be still in the darkness. Why would anybody stay in the darkness? Who are these people who are in the darkness? I'm going to suggest four groups of people who are still in the darkness. Even though the light is there and Jesus has revealed himself, he's revealed God, he's given us the scriptures, there are still four groups that are in the dark. And you might be one of these groups. So we're going to put these up one at a time, and you can take notes on the back. Number one, the uninformed are still sitting in darkness. The uninformed. It's hard to believe, with our advanced communication abilities and capabilities, that some are still uninformed about Jesus. Some have never heard his name. Some places they've never heard about Jesus. And some people, even though they've been here, where Jesus is sung about at Christmas time and Easter time and is on the lips of many, many people, they still are uninformed. It's as if they haven't heard because they're not listening. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some people don't want to hear. So it's true that some are uninformed. That's why missionaries are constantly moving into isolated places. The Johnsons we just talked about in Guatemala, there's a lot of churches there. They're specifically reaching the deaf there. They haven't heard the name of Jesus yet. They don't have a language. So they're teaching them sign language. They're teaching them so they can understand and not be uninformed anymore. There's no reason anyone should have to sit in darkness. The gospel is available. So missionaries go and they try to learn a language and they try to interpret the Bible and they try to teach and preach so that all will hear the gospel, so all will see the light of Jesus Christ. That's why they go. Listen to these verses. I'm not going to display these. Just listen. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing. If people aren't listening, they're not hearing, right? The deaf, they can't hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So it's the word of Christ that reveals Jesus and helps us hear and understand. Romans 10:14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And will they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear it without a preacher? Goes on to say that they go and they have beautiful feet because they take the gospel to those who haven't heard. They're still uninformed people. There's still pockets of darkness where they've never heard about Jesus. So what do the uninformed need? They need to be informed. If they're uninformed, they're ignorant, they need to be taught the truth about Jesus Christ and the gospel. They need to be led out of the darkness and into the light. But if they haven't heard about Jesus, if they don't know that there's a light, that there's a God who loves them and died for them, how are they going to do that until they hear? You know of people that are still sitting in darkness or in your life. Can you gently share the gospel with them and lead them out of darkness and into the light? So the uninformed are still in darkness. Number two, the misinformed are still in darkness. Misinformed. Oh, this is sad. They have been led away or led astray from the truth. They've been misled, misinformed. What do I mean by that? There are religious groups that are not really Christian groups. They don't point people to Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. They point to other things. They don't point to Jesus. If you've been looking to Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or any other religious leader for enlightenment or for forgiveness, then you've been misinformed. You say, oh, that's unfair. We have the Bible. The Bible tells us who Jesus is. The Bible tells us who the light is. These may have been great men, but if you're putting your faith in great men, you've been misinformed. If you're placing your hope in preachers or politicians or philosophers or science or wealth, you too have been misinformed. None of those things save you. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the only one who can enlighten you. He is the light of the world. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can forgive us. Get your eyes on Jesus and off these other people. Any religious group that tells you that Jesus is not God, and there's lots of groups like that, lots of cults like that, they say, well, we believe in God, but Jesus wasn't God. He was just a good man. Or a great teacher. Or a mighty prophet. Jesus is not just a man or a teacher, or a prophet. He's God in flesh. They are misleading you. You've seen the billboards down the hill where it says, Jesus was not God. Gigantic billboards. This is a campaign they're on. It's the Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to mislead you. Jesus is God. He claimed to be God. They worshiped him as God. He rose from the dead. Now, these groups might be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. You can be sincere. You can worship a rock. You can worship a statue like we talked about with the kids. But just because you believe in that doesn't mean it's right. You got to believe in the truth. They can be sincere. And you say, oh, they're just so wonderful people. If they're not trusting the Lord Jesus, they're still in the dark. How sad it will be to climb a ladder all your life, only to discover that ladder's been leaning on the wrong building all along. All your life you climbed up thinking you're going to find God. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me. You can be religious and not right with God. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. We need to place our faith in the truth of God's word, not what some preacher or philosopher or religious leader says. The truth of God's word. Jesus was God in human flesh. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. That's what the Bible says. There's no other name given among men in all the world whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Jesus is the only way to God, the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that, John 14:6. So what do the misinformed need? They need to be gently brought back to the right path, to the truth. They need to be gently led out of darkness, out of those cults, out of those ways of thinking, and brought into alignment with God's word, out of the darkness and into the light. So we've talked about two groups. We've talked about the uninformed. They just have never heard about Jesus. They need to hear. And the misinformed, they've been led astray. We need to draw them back. Third group, the rebellious, the defiant, they are still sitting in darkness. And fortunately, there are many that fall into this group. They actually choose darkness over light. They've been exposed to the gospel. They say, I don't really want that. I'm going to go my way. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We've gone to our own way, our own path. We just read John 3:19. I'll share it with you again. That men loved the darkness. Men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. They prefer to live in the darkness because they love their sin. They don't want to give up their sin. If you follow Jesus, you got to forsake it all. You got to repent. Walk away from your sinful life and follow Jesus. You cannot live in the dark and the light at the same time. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in the dark. There are some Christians who call themselves Christians that are still walking in the dark. That's inconsistent. Are we following Jesus or are we rebelling against Jesus? If you choose to walk in the light and follow Jesus, then you must repent of your sin. You must forsake your sin. So many have been exposed to the light, but they reject the light. It's like they put on blindfolds. I don't want to see the light. Like they put in earplugs. I don't want to hear about Christ. I don't want to hear about the gospel. I'm happy in my life the way it is. They choose to sit in darkness. And you can't make them change their mind. Only God can open their heart and soften their heart. They choose to walk in darkness rather than forsake their sin and walk in the light. So what do the rebellious need? What do these defiant ones need? They need to be alerted as to the consequences of the rebellion. The wages of the sinful life that you're living, the wages of sin is death. Divine punishment awaits you unless you come out of that dark state and follow Jesus. But let me add, we must approach them gently, tactfully, prayerfully. We must resist being harsh and argumentative with unbelievers. Listen now. No one has ever been argued into heaven. You can't argue someone and force them to trust in Jesus. You got to lead them like a shepherd leads the little lambs. You got to guide them back. So we must pray for them. We must pray that God will convict them. We must pray that God would draw them to himself. And we must gently share the message. If they reject it, back off. Use a little tact. Don't argue with them. Let your light shine, the Bible says. Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men in such a way they see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Your example, your light shines through your life to where they want to follow you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen three of the groups: the uninformed, the misinformed, and the rebellious are still sitting in darkness. Final group, number four, the careless are still sitting in darkness. This is the largest group of all, the careless. These have heard the claims of Christ. They've heard the Christmas carols. They've heard the Bible stories. They've been maybe raised in church, gone to church. They even maybe made mental assent. Maybe they grew up with the Bible and they got baptized and they wanted to follow it as a child, but somewhere along the line, they left it all. These are ones who have not yet decided really if they want to follow Christ or not, whether they love the world or love Him, whether they love the darkness or love the light. These are careless because they say, I know what I must do, but I'll do it later. You ever heard anybody say that? I know I need to become a Christian, but I'll wait till I'm old. I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm just not ready right now. That's careless. These are ones that are just too busy to really stop and consider the claims of Christ. They're too distracted to really make it to where they study the Bible or go to a church. They intend, and maybe sincerely intend, to get around to it someday, tomorrow, but not now, not quite yet. Tragically, their carelessness and their procrastination may keep them out of heaven. They may put it off and put it off until it's too late. I've heard it said that some will miss heaven by 12 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. They know the truth. They agree with the truth. They give mental assent to the truth, but they fail to act on it and decide to follow Jesus and be committed. They fail to embrace it in their heart and in their life and own it. What do these careless ones need? They need to be reminded of their mortality. Death often comes suddenly, unexpectedly. No one has a guarantee of living to 90 years old. But people put it off and put it off and put it off. So I'll get to it, around to it someday. Someday you're going to be gone. You won't have an opportunity. Tomorrow may be too late, because tomorrow never comes. It's always today. Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't be careless. Don't be reckless. If you intend to trust Christ, do it. And do it now. Today is the day of salvation. So as we wrap up, let me ask you, do any of these four groups describe you? Are you uninformed? Then get informed. Read your Bible. Go to a church. Go to a Bible study and get informed so you can make a decision to choose Christ. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You must make the choice. I can't make it for you. Find a church. Study the scriptures and decide if you want to follow Jesus or not, but do it. Don't be misinformed or uninformed. Are you misinformed? There you go. If you are, then get your eyes refocused on Christ, not on these cults or these false teachers, but on the truth. Protect yourself from the false teachers. Let me tell you where you can find most of the false teachers today. On the internet. You punch around YouTube and you find somebody that's kind of fascinating. You go, oh, that guy's got a good spin on this. You start listening to this guy. Have you investigated who that guy is or that lady is? They may be persuasive, but they're deceptive. That's the whole idea of deception, is you think you're following something that's good and you find out somewhere along the line it's not good. So do your homework. Find out who these teachers are. Make sure they're from a reliable church, that they trust in the scriptures, that are following Jesus, and plug into a Bible teaching, Bible believing, Bible obeying church When you're with others that are moving forward, you'll march with them. If you're all alone, you'll grow cold and you might be distracted. Don't be misinformed anymore. Third group, are you rebellious? Then repent. Stop rejecting Jesus and repent and receive Jesus. Turn to Christ for forgiveness. The fourth group, are you careless? Are you negligent about your commitment? Have you been putting it off, thinking I'll get around to it someday? Respond now. Will I have light? Will I have the opportunity? Today is the day of salvation. I want to close by reading one final statement of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He says, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light. You may not have the light always. You may not have the opportunity. This is saying the same thing. Today is the day. While you have light, respond to the light. Believe in the light. Follow the light. The light is Jesus. While you have an opportunity, do that and you'll become sons of light. Become sons of Christ. You'll be part of his family. Isn't that beautiful? What are you going to do? Are you going to respond? Let's pray. Don't be uninformed. Don't be misinformed. Don't be rebellious. Don't be careless. Follow Jesus. Turn to the light. Like a sunrise, he's risen. And the light is there for you to receive and respond to. Will you do that right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to delay any longer. Today I'm going to choose you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for giving us light and giving us scripture that we may believe in you and follow you. I turn away from my sin and I choose to follow you now. Will you pray that in your own heart, in your own way, sincerely? No delays, no excuses. Come to Jesus now in your heart, in the silence. Father, we thank you for this beautiful verse that tells us that we have seen a great light. We've seen Jesus, and that light has dawned upon us. So he is within reach of us if we will just reach out to him. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.